We are deeply grateful to God for the marvelous opportunity to be here, to hear His word, and to be strengthened in our faith. I have warm greetings from the brothers and sisters from Austria and also from Switzerland. We had marvelous days and meetings, and you always notice how grateful people are to whom God's word has been revealed through the Spirit of God. They come to rest in God. And it is written, there is a rest to the people of God. On the other hand, you see so much unrest among believers. People who spread unrest have not yet found rest in God themselves. And the Holy Scripture says in the creation report that God rested from all His works. And then again in Hebrews, that we too have come to rest from all our works. We no longer have to do this or that, but let God do whatever He has purposed. If our salvation depended on what you and I have to do or can do, then none of us will be there. But if we can let God work, then we have a very good chance of being there. And then we will not see or thank ourselves, but Him who has done and accomplished everything. For us who are waiting for God to act, this is the most difficult time. All the others can make a fuss and perform this and that, but it will all come to an end one day. People will run out of the last idea. What then? What then? Blessed is he who has found rest in God, who truly relies on the grace of God from beginning to end. Before we have a look at the word, I have resolved not to preach powerfully. God's word is so powerful in itself that we no longer need to emphasize its words. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is like a hammer that breaks rocks, and that means something. Then I had a wonderful phone call this afternoon. A sister whose son has had epileptic seizures for most of his life. He came here maybe 3 or 4 years ago. She brought him here, and he dedicated his life to the Lord and was baptized. And this sister hasn't been here since the time of the trial, but today she couldn't take it anymore, and she called and said, Brother Frank, let it be a strengthening of faith for you. I, or we, will be back. We've been through a lot, and many things are behind us, and we've run after this and that. But I want to tell you one more thing. When you prayed for my son back then, God did the miracle of healing. To this day, he has never had another epileptic seizure. God is faithful, not he who prays, but he who believes. For so says the Holy Scripture, and these signs shall follow them that believe. We can all pray, but let us believe while we pray, so that God can confirm His word. Today we are going to deal with a seals book, and that is with the last pages, that is with the last seal, a number of pages. I read it a few days ago, and some things will strike us here. It will become great and important to us, and we always do this in connection with the Word of God. There is no proclamation that comes from God that does not lead into the Word. Every divine message comes from the Word and leads back into the Word. A test must be possible, and this is only possible if you can apply the standard of the Word. As I said, we are going to read out some quotations. Before we do that, I would like to read from Leviticus 26, verse 42. Leviticus 26, verse 42. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Just up to here for now. God made a covenant with Abraham, a covenant with Isaac, a covenant with Jacob, and then, under Moses, a covenant with all Israel. And when we are called upon in these days to appear before the Lord as His covenant people, as people with whom He has made the covenant, then we must bear in mind the words of the covenant and believe what He has said. We know that God rewards obedience and punishes disobedience. And if we are going to read from the Seals book and also from Deuteronomy 29, perhaps we should read page 327 of the Seals book. Here it says, he told Abraham, and his seed would be sojourning in a strange land for 400 years. Then he would bring them out with a mighty hand. Short jump. God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget his curses. Neither does he forget his blessings. But every promise that he made, he stays with it. Here is why they were missing. Now I want you to read with me in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Maybe I should have started a little earlier. I am doing it now. I want you to read with me for a minute and watch real close. Maybe you never noticed in the tribal calling. Read now Revelation 7 with me and watch those tribes. In Revelation 7, Dan and Ephraim is missing and not numbered with them. Did you notice that? Dan and Ephraim is not there. But Joseph and Levi were substituted in their place. Why? The ever-remembering God remembers every promise of His Word. Now we are going to read this part of Deuteronomy 29 that was given from verse 16. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations, and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman, or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations. That is point one. Point two reads, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst.
Das würde zur Folge haben, dass alles das bewässerte Land mitsamt dem Trocknen hinweggerafft würde. Bleiben wir zunächst.
Let us stop here for the moment. Two things are said here. The first is that the people of Israel do not serve other gods. And the second that they must not allow a root of bitterness that produces wormwood to grow within them. Both things are put on the same level. And then comes the warning that no one should think to themselves, when they hear these words, it will go well with me, I am blessed and can praise myself happy. Calling you and me happy and blessed will not help you and me. There are many people, and Brother Branham explains it here, that people bless themselves. And I don't want anyone to get the impression that a big church alone can be meant here. We have all seen how people bless themselves and then walk away. But not only that, but many walk in the same footsteps and think they are blessed. They talk about happiness and don't realize that they have ignored these two conditions. On the one hand, we could say that we believe in one God and therefore not in gods, and perhaps look down on the others and think, well, we are safe because we believe in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If that is the case, thank the Lord. But that is not enough. Secondly, we must make sure that there is no root of bitterness. And we have also observed and read about the effects this can have. In the letter to the Hebrews, we can read it in chapter 12. From verse 14 it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It is not enough for us to praise ourselves happy and say we have the message or the truth or God's word. The other side of the coin here consists of two conditions. And if you contrast these two conditions with the many promises and ordinances, then it is almost out of proportion. But these two conditions must be fulfilled if all the other words of God are to be fulfilled. And if these two conditions are not fulfilled, then we can bless ourselves, then we can praise ourselves happy, then we can think we are right. What would God care about that? God is only bound by His word. Beloved, these are very serious words. God had made a covenant with His people, and He said, where would there be a people who had heard the voice of God, who had seen his fire, to whom he had spoken, and to whom he had revealed himself. Here were the people of Israel, and God had made the covenant with them, and then given these conditions. Dan, we read, and Ephraim practiced idolatry, and they were cut off and no longer appear in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, because they transgressed the word of God. Then it is of no use if someone from the tribe of Dan or Ephraim praises himself happy and blessed and says some things. But if these conditions are not fulfilled, then one is automatically eliminated. Then one has forfeited the right to share in what God has promised. Applied to us in this time or at this time, this actually means that we not only hear the words of the covenant, not only say God has spoken to us, but that we pay close attention to fulfill these conditions. Imagine if we had everything right in our doctrine, everything right in our knowledge, from Genesis to Revelation 22, and we were not teaching the one true God who has revealed himself to us in Christ. But we're preaching, as is common practice everywhere, the doctrine that is widespread. What then? Then we are automatically eliminated, because every person who comes to God is taught by God and is included in his plan of salvation. Well, if we have fulfilled the first part and have followed it by the grace of God, and can say and sing, Lord, you have revealed yourself to me, that we clearly recognize through the Word and the Spirit, through all the preachings, that God has revealed himself to us in Christ, and we call ourselves happy and blessed, and say, Lord, this is precious to us. We never want to give it up again. But then are not careful, but allow a root of bitterness to grow. Then it can be like wormwood and fill everything with such a bitter flavor that it is no longer edible. The best food, the best prepared meal is of no use to us if wormwood and various poisons are added to it. This is something we need to be aware of. We can all get the first thing under control very quickly. God has given us grace for this, and it doesn't require any effort on our part, because we believe, as the scriptures say. The second part, of course, requires a little more. when two tribes that God had called back then had to drop out because they did not fulfill the conditions. And later in Revelation 7, when at the end accounts are settled and all those whom God has pardoned are listed, and lo and behold, they are not among them. They were there at the beginning when they were called out, but at the end, when the divine visitation takes place, they are no longer there. And here, Brother Branham explains this very clearly. What good does it do me and you and thousands of others if they praise themselves happy? And I have brought the Brockhaus translation with me here. I would like to read from it. The font is a little smaller. Here it says, whose heart this day turneth away from Yahweh our God, to go and serve the gods of those nations, lest there be a root among you that beareth poison and wormwood, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. Do you realize what this is about? You can say, I have peace. And if you then look at the ways of a person who says with his mouth, I have peace, and in all his ways there is only discord, what good is it if someone says to himself, I am blessed, and in all his ways there is nothing but discord? And if you say, I am saved, all is well, and in all your ways is disaster, here we are dealing with very serious words. Walk in the stubbornness of his heart. Why is it still written in the letter to the Hebrews? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Faith in the one God who has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ must bring with it and entail that our hearts are renewed and that no root of bitterness can spring up, but that the peaceful fruit of righteousness can grow and flourish in us. Here the Lord God goes on to say, but then shall the wrath of Yahweh and his jealousy fume against such a man, and all the curse that is written in this book shall rest upon him, and Yahweh shall blot out his name from under heaven. You all know and can read it for yourselves in the book The Seven Seals. Here perhaps a few pages earlier, perhaps already from page 324, and we realize what it is all about. This is about the chosen ones. And let's emphasize that very clearly tonight. Election is done by God without our doing anything. Anyone who can believe with all his heart that he is chosen will allow himself to be brought within the bounds of the Word of God. Here, Brother Branham spoke of two lineages. On the one hand, of the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, and on the other hand, of the elect of the New Testament Church. When reading the New Testament, did you notice that neither Peter, nor James, nor John used the word bride even once in all their letters? Not once was the term bride mentioned by Peter, or by Paul, or by James, or by John. It was always the church, but the term election, predestination, was mentioned often enough. But in our time, when it comes to the calling out of the Bride of the Lamb, it is precisely this term that has been brought to the fore. It is found in the Bible, but in Revelation, there it says, "Come, I will show you the Bride, the Lamb's wife." So in the end, it is about the bride coming forth. If you read all these terms in Paul's letters and in the letters of James or Peter or John, then the same thing was meant. Here, on page 324, it says, notice, God's 144,000 elected Jews don't bow to the beast, nor to the denominations, or anything. What a marvelous testimony! Those chosen by God bow only to God and God's Word. They have an ingrained rejection of everything that is not of God. No matter how Christian it may be presented, if it is not according to the Word of God, they will not accept it. Then it continues here, same thing it is right here in the Gentile church now. It is an elected group. You can't pull them in that kind of stuff. They won't believe it. When the light once struck them, that settles it right then. When they see it vindicated and proved like that, they look down here in the Bible, they look at the Word, and realize that it all agrees. I have underlined this sentence. People who are chosen by God and who are struck by the light of God under the proclamation of the word, do not leave the word behind and enter into a fantasy, but as it is written here, they look into the word of the Bible and recognize that everything agrees. This is your and my way with God. If we claim to have been chosen by Him, we don't walk here today and there tomorrow. We don't have to deal with this wind or that wind, but only with a sound coming down from heaven on those who wait, on those who pray, on those who believe. This was also a wind, but it was not a wind of any doctrine, but a sound from heaven to fill the empty vessels that had received and accepted God's word. And the same, we believe, will happen in these days. It may be at the very end, but that doesn't matter. Then we can say, as the saying goes, all's well that ends well. Let the greatest and best come at the end. When did the glory of God fill the temple? Not when it was half finished, but when it was completely finished. And you can read about it in Exodus chapter 40. Here it says from verse 34, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. We could take the two parallel scriptures that still belong to it. The one at the time of Solomon, when he built the temple and everything was in place, the glory, the same glory of God came down. God Himself bore witness that His word and will were acted upon here. And the same must happen now. When the people of Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel, the glory of God descended again. And it says, the whole earth was shaken. What was it? God's people acted in the will of God, according to the word of God. And then the glory of God descended. The glory of God does not come when you and I practice jumping, or clapping our hands, or praying loudly. All of this has its place. And blessed are they who do not sit here dead, but who have life from God, and who can go along when the Spirit of God is at work. But in the time of Moses, in the time of Solomon, in the time of Zerubbabel. It was not what men did, but because they did the will of God in their time, according to what was then in God's plan. They built in patience, and 46 years have passed. We all know that. From the building of the last temple, and even then people misunderstood our Lord when he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." And the people said, for 46 years they have been building this temple, and in 3 days you will raise it up again. They misunderstood him. He was talking about the New Testament temple. He was the temple of God. He was the revelation of God in human form. Now Paul says, or writes to the Corinthians, ye are the temple of God. As the New Testament church, we must understand that God has a plan, a program, and if the calling out and preparation takes 40 years, then let it take so long. One thing is 100% certain. In the end, God will fill his temple with his glory and bear witness to the fact that things have been done according to his word and will. Everything else will then no longer be in demand. Of course, it was a long time for Moses, a long time for Solomon, and a long time for Zerubbabel. And waiting is a very bad thing. But if we know what we are waiting for, and know that God has made promises, why should we put our own fire on the altar of God? It will not be accepted by God. What happened to the people in the days of Moses who took the censers and put strange fire on the altar? The fire itself consumed them. You have to be able to wait in the kingdom of God and read the divine drawing. You all know Irenaeus was one of the men of God in the post-apostolic era, and he said, to whom God is gracious, he shows his plan, just as a master builder shows his plan to those who have to build it. That is what God does. God took Moses up the mountain and showed him everything that was to be done and how it was to be done. And then he came down from the mountain. And then at the end it says, maybe I will read it to you. In Exodus chapter 39, here it says in the last two verses, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, So the children of Israel made all the work. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. Not only Moses, but all who had a part in the work of God at that time carried out the work as God had commanded Moses. When Brother Branham was called by the Lord, he was literally told, as two signs were given to Moses, so two signs will be given to you. And if they do not believe the first, they will have to believe the second. What is it? The same God who spoke to Moses, who in the Old Testament had a plan, a church, and a prophet to whom he could speak, the same God now at the end of the New Testament church, in this prophetic age, had to send a prophet to once again present the clear plan of God to the people of God. And let us say it, God does not change. His ways and all his actions remain as they have always been. If all the Israelites who were involved in the ministry, in the task, in the work, did everything as God commanded, then I ask myself and you and many others, who is to blame for the hopeless confusion of these days? People who have no instruction from God. Everyone does what he thinks is good, and everyone blesses himself and calls himself blessed in his heart. And the word is fulfilled. Everything is done according to one's own judgment, of course, in order for the matter to retain its pious appearance, without which it could not be presented to the people. And then they refer to the prophet. Here applies the word that the Lord said to the scribes at that time. The scribes and Pharisees sat on the seat of Moses, and they had no idea of what Moses had said by the Spirit of God. I read this verse again. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. This is what it is all about today. Not to make a name for ourselves, not to do anything, but our actions must stand up to what God has made known and revealed to the prophets, because it must have been carried out as God has commanded. Imagine that Moses made an inspection. He looked around. It says here so wonderfully, and Moses did look upon all the work. Oh, if William Branham or Paul came today, whether apostles or prophets, and if they would sit as silent listeners here and there, land up and land down, oh my God, they would come to the front and drive the people out and say, you have not been sent of God, because you have not spoken in conformity with all the prophets and apostles. Here it says, he did look upon all the work. The day will come, and this is still written today in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, perhaps around verse 10, that everyone can build, but then the time of testing will come, and everyone's work will be proven in the fire. And then it will be revealed whether we have built nobly or whether we have built with wood, straw and stubble. As you know, the fire works very well when there is straw, when there is wood, when there is stubble, when there are all these things and a little wind, then there is not much left. But if there are precious metals, gold, what can fire do to gold? Then you can say, heat 7 times more than before. The gold that has received and experienced the test in the fire of trial will emerge all the purer. Today, the word of the Lord goes out to all those who take the Bible to hand and who still dare to come to the front, that they may build and produce in accordance with a prophetic word and with all that has been revealed, so that God can place His blessing on it. I read it again. I just realized it now. God knows I didn't come to the meeting with this in mind. Here it says, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. What was it? It doesn't say, according to Moses' instructions. They knew that God had spoken to Moses and that the instructions did not come and originate from Moses, but that they came and originated from God. And by this, holy reverence had come over all of them. And they knew, this is not the message of Moses. This is not the cause and work of Moses, but this is the message of God through Moses, and this is the work of God among His people. They did everything exactly according to the Lord's instructions. Before this can take place, one must have learned obedience and know what kind of work God has appointed individuals to do in His kingdom. I sometimes marvel, and this is not a criticism, just an observation, at how people suddenly take on a task, even though they would have had 20 years to report on their task or tell just one person about it. Suddenly, they are there. You don't know where they came from. Here, we are dealing with God and His Word. And I believe that God has an order, because that's what it says in the letter to the Corinthians. God is a God of order in all the churches of the saints. This word still applies today. In the churches of those who have been redeemed, purified, and sanctified by God, divine order applies. Only then can everything be done under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord has commanded. But those who think to themselves, "I am blessed," and considers himself to be something great, and then goes, and you will notice again and again that wherever these things are that we read about before, nothing good will come out of it. Where there is wormwood, where there is poison, where such a root of bitterness rises, nothing sweet can come out of it. I would like to emphasize and read this sentence again. I mean, of the elect, of the bride from the Gentiles. When she sees the confirmation and the evidence, she looks at the word of the Bible and realizes that everything agrees. Back then, in Moses' time, the Bible was still being written, and yet all those who were appointed by God to a task came together with one accord, and each was gifted with a task to do all the work in the house of God. God has placed various ministries in the church, but the church is one body. It cannot be torn apart. Today, one man draws a few disciples into his following, and then he is as proud as Lucifer, because he no longer needs to work, for there are some who are now devoted to him. And so everywhere it is separated and torn apart on all sides. Where is the body of the Lord? Where is the unity of the New Testament church? Where are the brothers who allow themselves to be integrated by God and who fit into God's program for this time? Believe me, even if we had to accept the first and greatest disappointment, many others will not be spared experiencing their own disappointments in order to be even more grateful later than they were before. We just have to be careful that our hearts are not hardened, nor that anything arises in us and a root of bitterness can spread. God has a plan for all the peoples from all nations until the end of the time of grace. God's plan is to carry out a calling out of the elect at the end of these days and to form His bride, the bride of the Lamb, so that we become one heart and one soul again, and that everything can be done as the Lord God has said through the mouth of His prophets and apostles, and has had it summarized in our days by the last messenger. There is no way around this. Tomorrow, God willing, we will see what else is written on the next pages of the seals book. And I hope that all who are of God will no longer be led by the nose with pious sayings, but as we have read, that they will look into the Word of God, into the Bible. For it is still written, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not the interpretation, not the many explanations, but the Word revealed by the Holy Spirit. Dear heart, if you are one of those who belong to the bright church at the end of the time of grace, then you too will allow yourself to be incorporated into God's plan. Then all your own desires will cease. Then you will wait in patience until the Lord can assign you your place. And if He wants to use you, He will let you know. Let's not worry about that. Our God is on the plan. He had an Abraham. He had an Isaac. He had a Jacob. He made the covenant with them, committed Himself to them, was faithful, kept promises, and blessed wherever there were those who received His words, believed His promises, and followed Him in obedience. The same will happen in these days. Once again, it is not what I or you or others want to do, but we must allow ourselves to be inserted into the work of God, into the plan of God, into what God is now doing in the plan of salvation at this present time and what He brings to completion. I have only one wish, and more than that, only one prayer. O God, let me do everything according to Your word, according to Your instructions, under the leadership of your Holy Spirit. Perfection will not happen on our own and not in the permissive will of God, but only where and when we let ourselves be inserted into the will of God. Aren't you glad that God has a remnant that is quiet before Him, that receives His instructions, that doesn't get nervous about doing this and that quickly, that can wait until God does something? In the end, the glory of God descended. We expect the same in great measure at the end of the time of grace. May God grant me and all of us to have understood tonight's lesson. It is very important to believe in the one true living God and then to take care, to be vigilant, that no root of bitterness emerges, which is like wormwood, and then destroys everything that we have previously accepted and embraced. It is then no longer of any use. On the contrary, it can happen that if people are not careful, their condition later becomes 7 times worse than it was before. God's word does not make empty words, but He means what He says and says what He means. Do not be discouraged and do not be downcast. Thank God with all your heart, for He let Brother Branham come to the mountain. He took him up into the constellation of the cloud when the 7 angels appeared there and gave him very clear, unmistakable instructions and revelations. And every revelation of God is a revelation of His Word through the Holy Spirit. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank You for Your precious and holy word. Lord, there is a time for everything. You also have a plan, a program for our days. O God, place us all in it. Place us where You want us to be. Beloved Lord, we long to do everything according to Your word, according to Your will, according to Your command. Guide us at all times by Your Spirit. Give us the necessary instructions, Lord. O God, we want to reach the goal and not think to ourselves it will go well and think we are blessed and praise ourselves happy, not as we see ourselves, but as You see us. Lord, how do I stand? How do we all stand before You? O beloved Savior, Make of us people who walk in your ways, whose hearts have been transformed, whose souls have been saved, who have received new life from God, who submit to you and your word in reverence. Beloved Lord, I want to be found in 100% agreement in your kingdom, in your work, in your church. Savior, we ask you together, let us succeed for the sake of your word, which we have heard this evening. Give us a heart that it is like this, so that we can reach the goal. Oh, beloved Savior, how faithful, how wonderful you are. The end will be crowned. Lord, let me be there. I want to be part of it when you take your own home. Lord, faithful Savior, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver those who are bound, and enlighten your people, and reveal to us your word and your will. Lord, we praise you and proclaim your victory, the victory of Calvary. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to you be honor and praise for everything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.